So anyway, this morning I'm here to talk about healed for greater impact. In life, we as a believer walk through our lives, and the reason why God wants to heal us from the inside out is that he wants to heal us for greater impact. You know what? I want my faith to be real, dynamic, and to be growing. I want God's power to be at work both in me and through me. No sense of pretending or just having a form of godliness, and therefore, and inside of that, denying the power that is available to me through him, and the same for all of us. I want to understand the things of God so that the ultimate goal for me is to experience life-changing transformation that brings about greater impact through the living of my life. A life sold out ultimately to the purposes of God rather than just having information and knowledge for the mere sake of it. That's what I want and live for my life. So anyway, we're going to look at some scripture. Okay? Bit of scripture, it's going to be a bit of a richness of scripture this morning. So I want to start off here in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. All my references are from the Amplified. So it starts off in this, and it says, so he, talking about Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the scripture was this, out of Isaiah 42, and it says this, here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice, and he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. You know what? It is clear to me from Scripture. Was that the right reference there? I'm pretty sure it is, isn't it? It's clear to me that Jesus was interested in doing more than just bringing about physical healing, because it's clear if you read the scriptures, he went around healing whom were sick. But it's clear to me from reading the scriptures and understanding who he is that he's more than just interested in healing, carrying out physical healing, and still is today, but he's interested in the whole of us, body, soul, and spirit, being whole and healed, or flesh, our spirit, our flesh, and our spirit is, if we are born again, our spirit is healed, because it is healed, but it's our flesh and our soul that we are dealing with. We are being transformed day by day. Life can be punishing. Yeah. Can be, can't it? Life can be, sometimes can be absolutely revolting. Brutal at times. Ugly at times. Hard on us at times. Some of us get wounded along the way. Actually, I'm going to change that. All of us get wounded along the way. We all get wounded by life. Through both intended and unintended actions and words of others that cause woundings to our souls, which ultimately can have the outworking of us continuing to walk out our lives as a wounded soldier. It's all right being wounded, but if we stay inside and be contained by the wounds that occur to us, that's when life gets tricky. We are not living in the full impact of what we should be. You know what? See, the intentions of God is that this would not be so, that we would continue just to walk as badly wounded soldiers, but actually we would receive healing of our souls, our very being, and of our flesh, so that we could be able to walk in the reality of freedom. But you know what? Sadly, too often that is not the case. Too often we live in the place of actually the issues of life that have caused wounding to us, that hold us back, that cause us to not be the impact we can be and should be. They hold us back from able to walk into that. We all need to, really do need to realize and understand that we all have an enemy to our faith. Everybody recognize we've got a, you know, there are a few enemies to our faith. Who are a few who will use whatever he can do and decide to use against us to delay the hopes we may have in God, to thwart God's purposes for our lives, and ultimately the hopes and dreams that the outworking would then be, that would we would then lay down and not fulfill the outworkings of what God has for us. It would lay down in defeat and not push forward into what God is wanting to lead us into. So if he can disrupt us, if he can destroy our intimacy, the intimacy that we should have vertical between us and God, if he can destroy that between us and God, he knows that this thing cuts off the very source of our power to us as believers. Because the source of our power is all about intimacy with him. We cannot shortcut that, folks. We cannot shortcut the reality that the ultimate source of power for our lives is intimacy from God, which is taken, I was going to lift up my Bible, but here's my Bible today, through knowledge of the scriptures and our relationship with him. You know what? Intimacy with God brings peace to the soul and healing to our bodies. Let me just grab this flip chart. And we need to order some more paper. We've run out of paper on here. This is all right. You want to draw a picture? Yeah, sure, why not? Three circles, please. Together, starting from the center, a small one, one around the outside of it. Oh, it has to be a lot bigger than that, honey. People can't see that. Sorry. Can you see that? All right, they can see that. All right. So in the center, and the very core of who we are is our spirit. Core of our lives, we are spirit. Oh, you're good. Well done. Spirit. There we go. Which is really where the real meaning and our purpose for life come from. It's our spirit that is born again into the image of God. So at the time of salvation, our human spirit gets transformed by the Spirit of God. That does not ever have to be renewed. That is renewed forever and ever. Unless we go, forget about you, God, you're a load of cobblers, I don't believe in anything anymore, I blah, 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 blah. Because I do not believe, I think there are grounds that we cannot always, once saved, always saved. And that's a whole big theological argument. But if we, anyway. Then around the outs, the next concentric circle out from that is our soul. Our soul being, any ideas? Our emotions, yes. Our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, our thinking, our reasoning, our beliefs, our attitudes, our feelings, emotions and memories. Our will, our choices, those our systems of our very being. So much of what controls us in life comes from our soul, from our emotions and stuff. You know, our emotions can either lead us down a good pathway or they can lead us down rotten pathways. And that is the area which so often really needs a whole lot of healing that can only come from God. And then on the outside is our flesh, our body, our senses, our multiplicity of different senses. I think we have more than five senses. I think we have a multiplicity of senses. Our nerves, our brain. See, our brain and our will are two different things. Our brain is a physical bit of mush that's held in by our skull, which is a phenomenally amazing thing that we can renew. It's one of those amazing muscles, amazing parts of our body that actually we can suffer damage to our brain, and if we put the right work into it, we can cause other parts of the brain to make up for the other side of the brain. There are people in the world, there are documented stuff of people in the world who have literally half a brain working and they function fully. I mean, it's just like, how is that possible? Yet people have a stroke and a small part of the brain gets damaged and their life's wrecked. It's incredible. So on the body, the flesh, it's our organs, everything that makes it up. So we are fundamentally right at the center of this. We are spirit, born again forever and ever. It's renewed. It's renewed in the image of God. And what gets in the way of us being able to connect, thank you, scribe, what gets in the way of us being able to connect with that more and more is our soul, our emotions, our thinking, our history, the things that affect us, and the limitations sometimes of our flesh, which can take us down all sorts of alleyways. You know what? The greater the peace and the greater the healing in the soul realm, more so than the physical realm, the actual flesh of our bodies, I believe that this is, I'm convinced of this, that the greater the ease of connection is, as our flesh, our mind, our emotions, our very physical selves then lives and operates in this place of intimacy with God, the greater the healing that goes on in our soul, the greater connection, the fullness of us that is contained in all of this, spirit, soul, and body, the greater the ability to have an intimacy with God. And there comes the place of real healing to be of greater impact in our lives. You know what? When there is less interference to the intimacy with God, the potential reality of our lives therefore comes to a place of greater, increases that ability, that expectancy of having greater connection and therefore greater impact. The less we are distracted by ourselves. Anybody noticed how the flesh sort of distracts? Anybody noticed how the mind, the emotions, the habits sort of distract us away from God? Anybody? There's a couple of you who want to be honest this morning. Yeah, okay, there's a few more. All of us, isn't it? All of us. The reason why, the principal reason why we need to read the word and to pray and worship God and to make the greater connection with God in that way is to cause intimacy to be much easier. The reason why at times in our lives we need to actually fast from food, and if you've never done it before, try it. You know, try it, because you know what? When you fast for the things that affect the flesh, you shut the flesh down and you connect with God much, much easier, much greater ways. The reason why we need to read the word and get it into it, because that's what is part of the whole thing that transforms our thinking, our reasoning, our soul realm, our emotions, all of that pulled together. See, Satan will try to stop our intimacy in any way possible, because he knows that if he stops our intimacy, then healing takes so much more to manifest itself. Without intimacy, the battle is lost to Satan, and he makes us think that God somehow has failed us. And all of the rubbish and nonsense and stuff that goes on in our lives, if Satan can destroy that link, we think that God has then failed us. However, this is what the book of James says in chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's a transaction that goes on here. We draw near, he draws near. We submit, he pours out upon us. We submit to him, then we resist the devil. And guess what? It says, and then he will flee from us. It does not just say resist the devil and he will flee. It says submit to God. So much of the things I think that go on in our lives that we do not think are godly stuff, I think it's because we actually do not submit enough to the purposes of God in our lives. Here's a promise. As we submit to God and draw near him, to him, he will draw near to us. The closeness of relationship with God, who is the healer, will bring about our healing and our soul realm that is so affected all the time. Anybody notice that life can be really tough and difficult? Yeah. I think I've asked that question just a little bit before, and therefore we are very likely to have, or in some way or in various ways, been hurt or by the words and actions of others. Fact, isn't it? It's just, that's what happens. We can knock lumps out of each other without doing it with no intention in it, but just because we may have said something in the wrong way at the wrong time for that particular person, or we have lashed out at somebody in pain, and we all do it, don't we? Yeah. Unless you're a saint. Any saints in here yet? Just Keith, okay. Gene, the Gene's going there. Here's three things I think we could center around in our whole journey of getting some sort of healing in this realm to, and I can only touch on these lightly today. First of all, we need to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes people who would never think of trying to deceive others can be experts at deceiving themselves. We lie to ourselves when the truth is something we cannot bear to hear about ourselves. The truth may be too painful, it may be too embarrassing. We may just not want to face the reality of whom or what we are or what we have become. Isn't it true? Sometimes in life we can sometimes realize somebody can say, "Cool, you're a bit antsy, you're a bit today, aren't you?" Or sometimes people become angrier or more hurt or more withdrawn over a period of time, and it's not until somebody points it out we either go, "You're right," or go, "No, I'm not. I'm not more angry than I used to be." Then we see ourselves, we hear ourselves, or we see ourselves reflected in a mirror and we go, "No, that's not me. It's somebody else." Or we go, "Yes, that is me." Proverbs 30 and verse 20 says, oh no, I won't go there. There can be an issue of pride. Perhaps it's pride that we just don't want to own up to. 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 18 and 19 says this, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, discarding his worldly pretensions and acknowledging his lack of wisdom, so that he may become truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness, absurdity, stupidity before God. For it is written in Scripture, he is the one who catches the wise and clever in their craftiness." You know what? We all have to come to a place of admitting that there is a problem. There is an issue that God needs to touch in our lives and bring healing to us. Secondly, we need to be vulnerable before God. We actually need to come to a place of actually being vulnerable before God. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 says this, "For the high and exalted one, he who inhabits in eternity, whose name is holy, says this, I dwell on the high and holy place, but also with the contrite and humble in spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite, overcome with sorrow for sin." Psalm 51 verses 16 and 17 says this, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. My only sacrifice or acceptable to God is a broken spirit." This is the psalmist writing at the time. "A broken and contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent, such, O God, will you not despise." There is something about the reality of us being vulnerable before God and being open and honest with where we are at the present time. The word contrite simply means this, feeling a regret and sorrow for what we have done. It could be sin, it could be offenses, it could be whatever we have done, lashed out at people, believed something, but we are sorrowful about it. We are penitent about it. See, after we realize there is a problem, we need to come honestly before God. We often don't want to. I don't know about you, but often I don't want to come honestly before God. Anybody else? Because I'm just, trying to be real about it this morning. I don't often. Sometimes I just don't want to. I don't want to come before God with the reality of what I know is going on the inside of me. Because I understand, that takes the humility of my heart. That takes the humility of me backing off from myself. It's such and recognizing the fact that God really does know at the end of the day. We wanted to believe we can handle it on our own. The amount of times I've thought, "God, I can sort this out all by myself." Especially being a man, because we're primarily wired to fix the problem. That's why there's... So often in marriage, there is problems in marriage because the wife might go, "You know what, honey, this is how I feel. You know what, and things are not going any good. You know, things aren't right for me at the moment." Guess what our man thing is? "Well, if you do this, and if you do that, and if you do that, it'll all be sorted. Come on, get on the way." Maybe not quite as simple as that, but that is the fundamental thing that ticks away in the very nature of man, because of man, male, because that's how we are programmed to work. Fix it, fix the problem up, That's why men want to be boys want to be mechanics, and more so, you know, more and more, you know, there are girls who want to be mechanics, but boys want to be mechanics, or they want to be builders because we can fix things. And every man is like, yes, I am Mr. DIY. And the shelf is like that, and the tap leaks forever, but yes, I am Mr. Fix-It. So too often, I don't go to God because I think I can fix it myself. We shouldn't have to ask, you know, maybe this beat that goes on. I shouldn't have to ask because even to the extent that the thought of belief could become, well, you know what? God, you're just going to fix this anyway without me even asking about it. You're going to do it anyway because, after all, you are sovereign, aren't you? And, well, if you really do love me, you'll just fix it. I don't really have to do anything about it. Then he doesn't sort it out. What are you doing, God? Why? Come on, why haven't you gone or waved your magic wand or whatever at that time our heads thinking? I don't think he has a magic wand, okay? I don't, okay? What's that? Figuratively speaking, okay? Deuteronomy 10 verses 15 through 17 says this, "Yet the Lord had a delight in loving your fathers and set his affection on them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples as it is today. So circumcise that as remove sin from your heart and be stiff-necked, stubborn, and obstinate no longer." That's about being vulnerable before God. Being no longer being stiff-necked and stubborn before God. "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great and mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality or take a bribe." Number three, submitting to God. These things have similar nuances to them, but they are different. But there are different outworkings. So submission to God, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. "Likewise, you younger men of lesser rank and experience, be subject to your elders, seek their counsel, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility." So, okay, so younger people, you need to ask the older ones for advice in life. But that doesn't put us in a position, if we are the elders or the older ones, of the ones that are being all-knowing and all mindful and therefore come before us and worship us, because then it goes on, then the rest of you need to be humble. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, tie on the servant's apron. For God is opposed to the proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and he defeats them, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. Listen to this. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time." You know what? We can exalt ourselves before God by not simply going to God. Exalting ourselves is not just trying to be proud in front of people, but we can be proud on the inside because we don't go to God with those things that affect us as much. Psalm 147 verse 3 talks about it, the fact that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. "So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation," that is, cultivate it, bring it to the full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity. Hang on, what do we have to cultivate? Our spirit is totally renewed. What we have to cultivate is this realm of the soul, which then affects the flesh. When our soul gets healed of those things that are ungodly, those ungodly emotions. There's nothing wrong with emotions, but when the emotions are ungodly or they're dominated from things of the past that then affect everything of who we are, this is why we need to cultivate health in this area of changing how we think, of actually getting healing for those things that hurt us and come at us. See, forever, and I'll give you an example. My personal Achilles heel is rejection. It's my Achilles heel. Bo can say the most innocuous thing to me at a time, and if I am not careful and hear it old Jeff way, I can feel totally rejected. If any of you say something to me or anybody says something to me at a particular time, I can remember years ago when, remember, it was all in fashion. Hard to believe this was a fashion, but men used to wear ties that were with Disney characters on them. Remember that? Can you believe it? For you younger ones, you go, what are they talking about? Yes, we thought it was really cool for a little while there to have Mickey, Disney characters on our ties. I mean, they were big ties. They were far out. I mean,
if you're going to have Mickey, you better have
it. It was like a tie like that, you know. One Sunday morning years ago when we were using Alfred, which is the Scout building, and I had a tie with Mickey Mouse on it. And there was a particular guy in the church at the time who will remain unnamed. So don't even bother trying to think who it was, those of you who go back a long way, okay? Because that would be strife and division, which is not of God. So you'll need to get before God and repent of your sin and deal with that. Because where there is disunity, there is no... Anyway, okay. Anyway, so I had Mickey Mouse tie on. And He was just a crotchety sort of a person. Let's put it that way. And as he's walking out the door, he goes, always what I thought about you, a bit of a Mickey Mouse pastor. And he might as well got a flipping gun and gone. He was actually trying to be funny at the time. He actually at that moment was trying to be funny. But oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah, Jeff, you are, aren't you? Total Mickey Mouse. What are you even doing this? Why don't you give up? Yeah, don't give up your day job. You know, go get a job. Go get a proper job. Yeah. Went crazy. Where have I got to on this? You know what? The greater the healing in our lives from the issues of life that causes us to be or to be, to either remain or to be contained or be to be restrained from the greater freedom that is available in God, whatever causes us that, whatever the greater healing that can occur will enable us to walk with greater freedom and intimacy with God ourselves. Galatians 5, verses 1 and 5. 1 through 5, oh, just verse 1 actually. For it was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us, therefore keeping... Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you once removed. The text begins with this very clear and refreshing statement of Christ's will for our lives. It's this: it was for freedom that he set us free, liberating us. I don't know about you, but at times I can get bogged down in the quandaries of the issues of life and get too bothered often about decisions that really do not really matter in the great scheme of things. And therefore we all need to orient ourselves, our lives on the very clear statement of Scripture regarding God's will. Here is one of them: for freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom. For the sake of freedom, why do we need to be more free? So that we have greater impact through our lives. You know, our enjoyment. Christ's will for each of us is that we would all enjoy a real sense of genuine freedom. Freedom of, for you younger ones, where you will go to school, what you will do with your life. When you think of going to university, what you will do with those decisions that seem to be the most important things in life at the moment? Maybe what job will I do? Where will I live, etc.? They're not nearly so crucial as whether we stand fast in the whole aspect of freedom that Christ has made available to us. And if those things were more important than the freedom that Christ has given to us for life, the Bible would have commanded those things as clearly as it here commands this whole issue of freedom, but it really doesn't. Our enjoyment of freedom is much more important than God, than many of the day-to-day decisions that fill our minds with so much concern. You know what? A good test of our priorities in life would be whether we are just as concerned about the command to enjoy our freedom as we're about the pressing decisions of life that we are so often caught up in. You know, so it's a very clear and unqualified command. Stand fast and do not submit again to the yokes of slavery. You know what? This is the will of God for each of us, our freedom. Uncompromising, unrelenting, and indomitable freedom that is not able to be subdued by any of those things that affected us in the past in our soul realm. Those emotions, those thinkings, that stuff that captured us for so long and controlled us for so long. You know what? For this is what Christ died for. Our freedom, that we would be people of greater impact. You know what? There's a walking out element to our faith as we continue on this lifelong journey of fellowship with God that we need to be aware of and therefore intentionally travel down. Healed to be of greater impact. You know what? We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be vulnerable before God, and we need to submit to God. Get ready, I'm finishing. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen.